This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Racy Game. I'm Frida Liu, and John Hagedorn from Better Trading Solutions for our Culture Intelligence series. We're on to the final one.
Yeah.
It's so sad. Okay, the globalization of culture is our topic for today.
Which is also quite sad to think about that, because we're losing cultures, we're losing languages. And since we've been talking about culture for the last 7 weeks, this is week eight now, we want to wrap up with this idea that says culture is too important to lose. It's something that we have to preserve. But unfortunately, trends don't look that way. Things are changing. And we can look around the world, see differences in business, the way we do business, differences in culture, the way people are expressing their cultural values. And now it's at a time when we have to think about whether or not these cultures are going to be preserved or whether they're just going to gradually fade away. Are we heading towards a global culture?
Are we all turning into Americans from the proliferation of media?
That's I would say that that's one of the biggest factors that's leading us towards this, all right? Let's look at some of the things that are changing here and why it's easier to why it's easier to intermingle now and why culture seems to be becoming a lot more homogenous.
So is it easier to do business, you know, today, you think, than, say, 20 to 25 years ago?
All right, let's focus on business, because there's a lot of economic reasons why it's easier to do business now, because of globalization, because of trade, because of transport, and all of these other things that are available to us now that weren't available even 25 years ago. Technologically, it's a lot easier to do business because of online buying and transactions on the internet. But there are also specific cultural reasons why it's much easier to do business now than it was 25 years ago. And I can give you three. First of all is the globalization of pop culture, which you pretty much identified as American culture. All right. Although we can't really specify that, you know, anymore, because it's changing. There are trends that are changing. For example, it used to be 25 years ago when we thought about pop culture and music, it was like Michael Jackson. And now, of course, there's still Justin Bieber, but Korean pop is coming in and it's becoming global. All right. So this means that there are new markets for music and for entertainment. Same is true for movies. You look around the world, we've got the Disneyfication of childhood, and that's taking place in every nation.
The Disneyfication.
The Disneyfication of childhood, yeah. Fashion as well. Everybody wants the same stuff. Everybody wants to go to the same shops. We have all the international shops here in Kuala Lumpur, perhaps in greater density than in any other country in the world. So pop culture, fashion, music, movies, all these things are coming in and taking over. In addition to pop culture, we've got the globalization of business culture. Because what's happening now in business is, first of all, you notice that everybody has the same standard uniform now, right? The business suit, which was true also a few years ago, but now it's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. Everybody's wearing the standard jacket and tie, you know, if you're a guy, and then it's the standard, you know, slacks and skirt if you're a woman. But we have these standard business outfits that we go to our meetings in. And that's another thing, is that we're going to meetings. We're not sending conquering armies if you've got something that the other guy wants. We send negotiators. And around the world, everybody knows how to negotiate. Now, we have different styles and different ways of going about that. We send negotiators now. It's not to say that business culture has already become globalized, but business people are constantly building cultural bridges, and therefore they're creating better understanding in business. And that's why greater understanding is going to lead to more common practices in business. And as a result, we're going to globalize our business culture and start doing things pretty much more the same way than we are now. We need to be aware that cultures are different at this point, but at the same time, we need to be aware that we are becoming a little bit more the same with each business meeting that we have. The third thing that's causing globalization of business culture, and the reason why it's easier to do business now, is because of the globalization of the English language. Now, we had talked about how the English language is going around the world, and how the English language, how language affects the way that you think. And now, if you want to reach a world audience, you have to write in English, because English is the most translated language in the world. 50%, more than 50% of all documents that are sent out in English are translated into other languages. And According to many surveys now, English is the second most widely spoken language in the world, if we consider first and second language speakers. And there's no reason to think that that trend is going to stop. It's going to keep on growing.
Second most
widely spoken language in the world, yes.
What's the first?
Mandarin Chinese.
Mandarin?
No,
okay,
Yeah. Well, we're looking not in terms of like widespread.
Spread,
we're looking in terms of number of speakers.
Yeah.
Mandarin Chinese, English, Spanish.
German.
No. Arabic.
Spanish,
Spanish. But these are the biggest languages now. And there have been predictions that by the year 2250, all right, within the next, like, say, 225 years, we're going to be speaking no more than, say, five or six different languages here on Earth when we communicate with each other. No more than five or six.
Wow.
Because we're losing languages as we continue to go day by day. We're losing languages every week. And as one language is lost, it's replaced by something else.
All right. You know, and the relationship between economic and cultural globalization, John Hagedorn will explain himself in just a moment. This is Race Again, BFM 89.9. This is Race Again on Enterprise. Good morning. Cultural Intelligence Series. That's what we're talking about. John Hagedorn from Better Trading Solutions. This is the final one, our eighth session, and it's on the globalization of culture. You were saying a couple of things actually has affected the way we look at culture, and that's pop culture, business culture, and the English language, and how that's just going to affect how we do business. Now,
right.
what's the relationship between economic and cultural globalization?
Okay, there's a close relationship between the two, but first kind of let's look at the history of economic globalization and how it's been affecting culture, because our earliest records of trade go back 5,000 years ago all the way to the tablets that were found at Ebla in Syria with the cuneiform, right? They're all about trade. They're all about business records and things like that. Same is true from the Egyptian hieroglyphs. They're about trade. They're about barter. They're about exchanging grain and all of these things. And even during the Bronze Age, we have a lot of records that come from the Minoans, from their trade and their manufacture of bronze goods. We've got all of these records that say back then we were doing a lot of trade, which meant that there was a lot of cultural contact. And previous to that, previous to recorded history, we just had groups that were living in specific areas without a lot of contact with each other. So it's trade and it's business that actually brought these cultures into contact. And as a result, they're going to be affecting each other.
Like in this part of the world, be Sanskrit with the Indian travelers.
Yeah, sure. And what happened along the Silk Road and all of these. And what happened in Malacca, right? With all of these cultures mingling in Malacca. And to this day, we recognize Malacca as being very multicultural in that way. And it's all because of trade. So that's why we have that close relationship between economic and cultural globalization. Now, as we moved on from that, as we moved on from early trade, that, of course, brought in, you know, early forms of conquest, which also affected cultural globalization, because you had early Rome. All right. Early Rome spread out and affected all of these other countries. They took all the resources from other areas. But there was also the Latinization of languages. All right. At the same time, you had China during the Qin Dynasty, when it was united under the Qin Dynasty. And at that time, they standardized the writing system there, which has had an effect that's lasted thousands of years.
To this day.
To this day. We had Spain and Portugal, which were our seafaring nations during the 13, 1400s, right? And they went to South America, plundered the resources there. But you look at South America now, and it's almost exclusively Spanish and Portuguese in terms of language.
Spanish.
Right?
Just Portuguese for one country.
For one country. Yeah, one country. And then the same thing happened with the British Empire, the English. They went around the world. They had one of the largest empires ever seen on the planet. And as a result, we have English everywhere, even here in Malaysia. So in addition to this economic globalization, whether it's trade or whether it's plunder, they're going to be coming in and affecting the culture as well. And these examples here are just language related, but language has a huge impact on culture. When you lose a language, you lose a significant part of the culture.
Wow. Okay, now are we headed towards a universal global culture? Can we say that?
hard to predict, but the trends point to that. I can give you a local example. My wife is Kadazan, and she recently brought a video back home called The Kadazan Dusun Story. It's released locally by Venoon Films, and just recently, this year, right? And in the video, what they do is relate the account of the transformation of the Kadazan culture over just one generation.
Wow, okay.
You have parents who are in their 50s talking about how things were previously, rice fields, everybody working in the paddy fields, people talking about how they could drink water right from the paddy fields, all right? Talking about the diet that they had and how good for them that was and how nobody ever got sick because of the diet, right? Mm. And then they compared that with Kadazan youth, kids who were maybe 15, 16 years old, talking about how, A, they don't speak the language. They know a few Kadazan words, but they kind of look at it as the language of the previous generations, and now they're speaking predominantly English or Malay. And their diet as well doesn't include the same kind of, you know, traditional foods that the Kadazans would eat. In fact, it's mentioned in the video that we go for Pizza Hut and McDonald's. Yeah, right? Because they're there. They're there in Kota Kinabalu now. Music, no more traditional music. Let's go for the pop culture that everybody's listening to. So diet, music, language. Over just one generation, you've got a huge transformation in the culture, and especially in the language. UNESCO recognizes Kadazan as an endangered language. And this is just one of our microcultures here in Malaysia that is facing this kind of transformation. Now, if this is happening in Malaysia, you can imagine how this is happening in other parts of the world as well. Mm. Indian cultures in South America, Indian cultures in North America, American Indian cultures, smaller language groups up in the northern areas of Scandinavia that are just so isolated and where the education systems are coming in and replacing them so that one by one, these languages are dying out. There are some languages in the world, according to UNESCO records, where there is just one speaker left. Can you imagine how lonely that must be? You know, to be the last speaker of a particular language. So UNESCO has this huge project that they're working on now to preserve, record, and keep these languages intact. So at least if they disappear, we remember what they were, right? Now, just to show you what this trend is like, in 4000 BC, right, back in the time of the Egyptians and the Sumerians again, it was estimated that there were only about 30 million people in the world, right? And they spoke a total of 10,000 different languages. Hmm. And that's about 3,000 people per language, all right? 10,000 different languages. Today, we have only about half the number of languages. Hmm. So over that time so far, we've lost half the languages that existed, let's say, about 6,000 years ago, all right? Half the languages. We're losing languages at the rate of about one every 2 weeks. And that continues. And since there's a close relationship with language and culture, it means that whenever we lose a language, we see the world, we lose a vision of how we look at the world because the language is gone, so we don't have the same interpretation anymore. A second thing that leads us to believe that we are headed towards globalization of culture is simple demographics. Mm. In the mid-18th century, London and Paris were our two largest European cities, and each of them had 700,000 people. Wow, huge. You know? Right? And today, our cities just dwarf that. If we have a city of 700,000, we're looking at something small, insignificant.
A little, you know? Hamlet.
Yeah, some town somewhere, right? But with industrialization and with jobs and things the way they are, people are moving into urban areas. So nowadays, or today in the world, we've got 18 cities already with populations of more than 10 million people, and another 10 are not far behind that. So more and more people are moving into urban areas. And within an urban environment, you have fewer microcultures. People tend to become a little bit more, let's call it globalized or homogenized within a city than they are, let's say, when they're spread out in rural areas where they live more traditional lifestyles and fend for themselves in more traditional ways. Whereas in the city, it's pretty much the same. You go to the grocery store, you go home, you cook, you know what it's like, right? And to show you how quickly that this has been happening, it was just as recently as 1950. I mean, my contemporaries, you know, as recently as 1950, that 30% of the population lived in an urban environment, while 70% was still living out in the rural areas, agricultural areas, right? But now the figure is more than 50%. In other words, half the people in the world today are living in urban environments, and there's no reason to think that this trend is going to turn around. So because of these two things, mostly language and demographics, I think it's almost inevitable that we are headed towards a global culture. And that could be hotly debated, right? And I don't think it's going to be happening anytime too soon. But you had a guest on the show recently that was talking about what people are going to be like in the next 100,000 years. Do you remember that? I forget his name.
Matt Armitage.
Yeah, okay. All right. And I thought that was an intriguing show. I was just, you can't say glued to your radio, can you? But I was. I was just listening intently to that and thinking that, well, by 100,000 years, we're certainly going to be globalized in our culture. And I think it's going to be much less time than that before we are actually seeing a global culture here. If people are looking that far down the road, we should be looking a little bit closer and some of the effects that globalization on our culture is going to have on us.
Right. So like in summary, with that in mind that this is going to happen, maybe not too soon, but it is happening, you know, what does it mean for businesses? You know, how should they prepare themselves, I guess?
Number one, businesses always need to be aware of cultural differences and cultural similarities when they go in for any type of business relationship. Because now, even though we might be headed towards globalization of culture, we are still facing cultural differences. However, every time that we go in with greater awareness, we are building more cultural bridges. And more awareness means better understanding. And better understanding means that we're less likely to have cultural disasters occurring, cultural clashes occurring within business, as was the case in the Daimler-Chrysler merger, which we talked about. So the first thing is that we still need to be aware that culture plays a significant factor today. I mentioned we have to be aware of similarities and or differences and similarities, but similarities are also very important. So the second thing I would have to say would be focus on those similarities. And let's look at what we do with each other that we can build on rather than focusing and dwelling too much on the things that make us separate from each other. Let's work on what makes us separate. Let's work on that and get over it. But let's build on what makes us the same. Let's use that as our foundation so we can continue to do business successfully based on our similar interests. Like we were talking about negotiation a couple of weeks ago. Negotiation is essentially about interests, common interests. So if that is true for negotiation, let's make that true for cultural understanding as well.
And world peace.
And world peace.
John Agadon from Better Trading Solutions. This is Racing Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.